This morning we're going to be in the book of Job, chapter 19, verses 25 through 26. And this message this morning is called Faith in the Redeemer. Faith in the Redeemer. We can take into account that the Lord is our Redeemer, that He is the one that calls the shots, just like we spoke in the past 2 weeks. We talked about God's sovereignty. So this is kind of part three to God's sovereignty, but it's not titled that way because we're going to talk about Job's conflictions. We're going to talk about the things that Job dealt with on a personal level, and we're going to discuss how it all changed. So let us stand for the hearing and reading of God's Word. We are in Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 26. God's Word says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last He will rise up over the dust of this world. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall behold God." Let us pray. Father God, today we come to You on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's Your day, and we celebrate You and we worship You. Allow these people watching and hearing this in person to open up our ears, open up our hearts to receive this message, not only to receive it, but to actually take it inside of our hearts and to utilize it throughout our lives. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So we talk about faith in the Redeemer. We talk about Job, who Job is. This passage is truly in the book of Job, and he's speaking to Bildad and telling him that his Redeemer truly lives, because Bildad was actually talking negative about it. He's like, "I don't think he lives. There's no Redeemer." This is another brilliant flashes of faith that Job showed. And he went through a dark background of suffering and of crisis. Now, a little bit about Job. Job had everything. Job was wealthy. Job had the nicest of clothing. He had the goods. He had everything that people wanted. Job had it all. And it was all taken away. It was all taken away. Still, he had faith, true faith. He had faith in Christ. He had just a little bit of faith. Just enough to truly show who he was. The word translator redeemer is Goel, and it's presenting one of the wonderful concepts of the Old Testament. The Goel stood for another to defend his cause, to avenge wrongs done to him, to acquit him all of charges laid against him. The redeemer was a vindicator. He was one of that was unjustly wronged. He was the defender of the oppressed, a champion of the suffering, an advocate of the unjustly. If you were ever wronged, a redeemer would come and stand beside you as a champion and advocate you. When Job was in desolation, he had Goel living and active. He was uttering. He was a profound truth, giving truth to God. He was always faithful. God took it all away from him to show him to have faith in him. He took all the wealth. He took all the fancy clothing. Took everything to make him suffer. Just to give a little faith. Just to give faith in him. Just to lean on him. Spurgeon said this about the Redeemer. When we talk about the Redeemer, the great Charles Spurgeon said this: "Not merely to redeem by price, but where that failed, to redeem by power." There are two redemptions: redemption by price, redemption by power. In both of these, Christ hath wrought for us by price, by his sacrifice upon the cross at Calvary, and by power, by his divine spirit coming into our heart and renewing our soul. See, such words, genuine words from Charles Spurgeon, talking about the Redeemer, that the true Redeemer was on Calvary, that the true Redeemer was Jesus Christ, and we proclaim him every day. We proclaim him on Lord's Day when we sing, Christ-centered hymns. The title of our hymnals are Christ-centered. That's because everything should be Christ-centered in our lives. See, Job knew that he had a redeemer. Job knew that he had somebody that could rescue him from the depths of depression. Think about it. Living a lavish life of everything that he could have, that it was at his fingertips, to lose it all. How much depression could you go through? Saying, I'm comfortable living in my lavish lifestyle. I'm comfortable having all these things. Then it gets taken away like that. But how often do we deal with crisis in our life? How often do we sit there and realize that we need a redeemer to get us through when we go through depression, when we go through the hard times in this life? We must lean onto the true redeemer. We must lean not on our own true understanding, but God's understanding in us by the Spirit. You know, times can be rough. Times can be hard. Transitions can be hard. Things can be difficult. But if we lean on the true Redeemer, on Jesus, it's no longer difficult. We put those onto Him because He suffered the ultimate price. He suffered what we should have all suffered. See, we deal with despair. We deal with all of these emotions. But when we read in God's Word, it says, that my Redeemer lives. Job is saying, my Redeemer lives. That we are to have faith. He knew that he was alive. Knew it would bring life to him at a time when there was no life of him. He lost everything. He lost his clothing. He lost his life. He was down to shreds, living on the street. You could call it a street. But he had nothing else. God took it away for him to have a little faith, for him to truly have faith in him. I'm going to read later how it worked out for him. See, Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the life. The psalmist says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The true rock. The only one to lean on to. See, when we go through that life of despair, I've been in that. That life of despair and of depression, of you get on your knees because there's nothing else to do but to pray to the Lord. He is the only one to get you out of that life. And to bring you into a life of glory with Him. To bring you into a whole eternity of praising and of honoring Him. There's only one that does that, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, I seen a picture yesterday online of a guy that went to a festival. And he had Jesus written across his forehead. And he said, Jesus, 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 going down his t-shirt. And I said, wow. He's proclaiming that Jesus is everything. But we walk around in our lavish lifestyles and don't proclaim Him enough. You know, that a small man, that tattered clothing, had Jesus all over it because he had faith. Job got everything taken away from him. He had faith. He had faith in Christ. Just a tiny bit of faith was enough. We read too in the Word, it says, be acceptable. He asks for grace. He's asking for mercy. He's asking for all these things that are a free gift to us, that there's no work that we can do to receive the grace. That grace is given from God and it's free. There's nothing we can do. There's no totem pole we can move up to. There's no work that can be done. God's Word says our works are like filthy rags to a holy God. It's so true, because our God is holy. He is true. And there's one true Redeemer. The Redeemer is Jesus, and it says it in His Word. Job was in complete despair, no direction. He had nothing. He started to lose, and then God showed him to have faith in the Redeemer, the true Savior of the world. God's word says he will rise up over the dust of the world. I'm talking about Jesus. He will rise up over the dust of the entire world. I mean, the Redeemer was more than just a spiritual concept. See, sometimes we think that the Redeemer is a spiritual concept, and he is, because he's inside of us with the Holy Spirit. But there's so much more. God's word says that he will rise again, and that he will show up on this earth, and he will take his people. And he will be the last to stand on this earth. Job knew that his Redeemer would give him comfort, and it would vindicate him. Though to this point he had evidence of a true God. He truly did. He understood who the Redeemer was. He understood what was going to happen. See, the true comfort is those of a believer. We have true comfort. We do. I don't want us to ever feel like we have no comfort. We have nothing to lean on. We have no Redeemer. Yes, we have the Lord, and he is our true Redeemer. He is the one true God. See, Job knew his Redeemer would vindicate him. And at the end of chapter 16, Job was obsessed with the notion that someone in heaven would stand up for him and plead his case. But here in chapter 19, he is expected to witness to his own vindication on earth. He is witnessing to others, saying, I know there's a Redeemer, and here is why. This is after everything that happened to him, after God truly took everything from him. See, sometimes we like to blame God for our shortcomings on earth. We like to blame God for the things that happened here. Why did you let my car break down this week? Why did you take away this home? Why did you do this to me? Well, he's a holy God, and maybe he wanted some faith to lean on to him for understanding, to lean on to him to get you through the situation. Now understand, he's not a crutch, that we must work inside of that also. We are to do what he tells us to do. We are to lean on to him for understanding in our relationships, in the things in our life, in our job, those things we are to lean into God to show, so he can show us what is going on, so that he can take the blinders off and we can see clearly. That's how holy God is. That's what he wants from us. It's who he is. God's word says this, and after my skin is destroyed, at this point Job, he had no more hope in the preservation of his flesh. His skin was starting to fall off. This is more than just a spiritual thing. This was so much more than just things that he had in his life that was taken away. His skin was literally peeling off. And that's a time when you would question and be like, why is this happening? I can maybe understand the rest of those things, but my skin is literally deteriorating off of my bone. The man had faith. True faith. To understand that there's a reason for that happening. It's amazing when you read through God's word and you see all of these different things. He knew his skin would be destroyed, and it was already in bad condition. We read that in Job 2. He was suffering. He was mangled from the world. Completely mangled. Completely mangled. But yet, had faith. And he had faith in God, and he knew everything was going to be okay. He knew in the end that everything was going to be fine. He didn't have fine clothes or nice things, a big house, an expensive car. He was mangled with very little clothing. And he had faith knowing that his Redeemer was coming and that it was enough to live with. Imagine these people in these other countries that can't do church and all these other things and that are sneaking to read their Bible. They don't have the most fine clothing. They don't have a big fancy house or a car that even has air conditioning in it. They don't have vehicles, but they study the word and they have faith, and that's enough. Because when we go to heaven, we're not going to have all these things. We won't have all this stuff. this stuff doesn't matter anymore. We're going to have true faith in a Redeemer, that He can get us through our lives and all the situations in our lives, no matter what we're going through. No matter the spiritual battles we have in our head or in our hearts to where we start having doubt, there's no true doubt in a true Redeemer. We are to have faith in Him. Faith in Christ alone, because it matters, because it's the gospel, and that's our salvation. That's truly what matters. Imagine the faith of Job and how little faith we have. Job could have done so much with his faith. We have so little that we can't do much. Can't do anything with it. Said, yet for my faith I shall behold God. Though Job expected the destruction of his skin, he had confident faith to know God would hide himself forever. That even in my flesh I shall see God. Even with everything going on, I shall see God. That God is here. God is with us. God is in the believer. True faith. True faith. This would be the moment of Job's comfort, his restoration, his vindication. He would have confidence even only coming after a life, that the life on earth was over, that if he was to die, that he would be in heaven. Think about it. The people that don't go to heaven are the only ones that have $500,000 homes. The people that go to heaven are the ones that have faith in Christ. Those are the ones that go to heaven. Never says in the Bible that no matter that the bigger house gets to go to heaven. It doesn't say in the Bible that the most fancy car goes to heaven. It doesn't say in the Bible that if I wear this fancy clothes, I get to go to heaven. Nowhere does it say that. It will never say that. God's word have never changed, and God's word will never change. Ever. So that doesn't exist. It says the ones that have faith in Christ, and you are to repent and turn away from your sins, go to heaven. It's about being faithful. See, Luke 22, verse 32 says this, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned away, strengthen your brothers. It's coming from Jesus himself. Faith may not fail. Failing faith equals no faith in Christ. Christ is truly sufficient. Christ will always be sufficient in everything. Always. Christ is sufficient in everything in your life. He will always prevail, no matter what. Jeremiah 20, verse 7 says this, O Lord, you have deceived me. Now Jeremiah is saying, you have deceived me, Lord, and I truly don't understand why. And he says, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. Now he's saying, the Lord is stronger than himself, and he has prevailed. Christ has prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone wants to mock me. The weeping prophet here is asking why the Lord has deceived me, when in reality he has not. He truly has not. But he knows the power of the Lord. And no matter what happens, he is in control. The weeping prophet understands this. Understand, Jeremiah was. He cried all the time. Jeremiah was the constant weeping prophet that wrote all his words down. But it's because he's seen the Lord. And it was an emotional concept to him. We are totally depraved without God. Understand that without God, we don't equal up to anything. We don't. We must lean on to God for our understanding through the Son. He fills us, and which makes us complete. He makes us complete. Yet without God, and we are not saved, and we are not a complete vessel. He makes us complete. It takes understanding, and it takes us being selfless and to know truly the power of the Lord. It all takes the understanding the power of the Lord and who He is. It takes true faith. Faith in a world with little of it. We see the things going on in our world, and You can tell there's people with little faith. There's people that are not saved doing these things. Every true believer understands that we are to have faith in Christ alone. And you can tell that by their fruits. We can tell that by how people act. We can tell that by how people are in relationship with each other. We can tell that with how they portray themselves. That's how we tell things in this world. It's by their actions, by their fruits, not if they're truly saved. When they do things that are not edifying, then they're not truly saved. That's what God's Word says. We can tell them by their fruits. We can tell them by how they act. If they act like Jesus, they are saved. If they don't, then they are not saved. It's that distinction. It's true. It's easy to understand that. See, Job faced this appalling loss of possessions. He earlier in Job, when we read about it, he lost his family. He lost his children. He was by himself. He lost his health. We read that his skin was deteriorating. He leaned on the Lord and he didn't waver from it. He understood that the loss of his kids and the loss of his wife, well, there must be a reason for it. And it must be that he must glorify God with it. He must lean on his understanding to see why, to see truly why that happened. See, Job was at the end. We read at the end of verse 19, or chapter 19, Job received his wealth back. He had another 10 children, and he lived for an additional 140 years. All because of true faith. Faith in the Savior. Faith in Christ. So we talked about earlier, I said we're going to discuss that later to see how that changed. So at the beginning, he lost everything. He had some faith. He received his wealth back. He received his possessions. And he lived for an additional 140 years. All because of faith. All because of a little faith. See, we may suffer during a time. It's during a time period that we may truly suffer. It could be 2 days, it could be 20 days, it could be 20 years to where we'll suffer. It's important that we rely on the Lord during these times, that we are to come to Him to truly understand, and we are to lean into His understanding instead of ours, because His is a lot higher than ours. Doesn't mean we do nothing and just say, God will handle it all. We'll sit back and just let Him take the wheel. And it'll work out. It's not true. We are to still have our part in it. But we are to stay on the true path and understanding who He is and lean onto His understanding. Let us pray. Father God, today we come to You with understanding of who You are and understanding of Your power and of Your sovereignty. Today let us understand that we are to have true faith in a Redeemer, that we are to have true faith in Christ, and that we are to understand who He is, and that we are to lean on Him for understanding. We are to lean on Him during the times that we feel lost, that we feel out of sorts, that we can do nothing else. We are to lean on Him. That we are to take ourselves out of it and start putting in the understanding through the Spirit of You. Father, allow us to be more like Job and just have a little faith, that we are to have faith in Christ, that we are to lean onto Him with everything we have. We are to lean onto Him with all of our goods and our possessions, that it all should be into glorifying Him. And allow us to understand Your Scripture more clearly. In Jesus' holy name we pray.